Welcome to God and Country Radio. Weekend program discusses current social, political, economic, and prophetic events in the light of biblical theology. I'm your host, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harvard Bible Church in Central New Jersey. The debate between Trump and Biden was another teachable moment in history. His story, God's story. So let's go through some of the issues that the debate stirred up. First, the Democrats are in a panic because Biden showed all of the signs of aging, failing mental acuity, and they realize his dementia will probably lose them the election. In one poll before the debate, 65% of the public said Biden was too old for the job. After the debate, 72% said he was too old for the job. Notice that the public already realized the problem even before the debate. After the debate, President Biden had a 22-minute interview with George Stephanopoulos with ABC. And Biden was not able to redeem himself. He still stuttered, made gaffes, and looked confused. In a July 4th speech, Biden lost his thoughts and rambled. President Biden actually prepared for the debate 13 weeks prior, and he was given the questions beforehand. If this is how poorly he does being prepared, it's pretty evident that he's in decline. And it's only going to get worse over the next 4 months, let alone the next 4 years. Dementia is progressive. So many Democrats are calling for Biden to step down. Top congressional Democrats are planning a meeting this week to get support for a call for Biden to drop out of the race. This is not a meeting with the full Democrat caucus, but the first step. Having this level of opposition in Biden's own party pretty much signals the end of his campaign. And I've noticed that in all of the major evening news networks, the story being covered is key Democrat leaders calling for Biden to step down versus Biden's refusal to concede. The leftist media, who are watchdogs for the Democrat Party, wouldn't be putting out these stories if they hadn't decided to remove Biden. CNN fact-checked Biden in the debate and listed all of Biden's lies. Jon Stewart and other leftist comedian pundits are all ridiculing Biden. I just finished listening to an interview with a Democrat consultant, Julian Epstein, and he says about Biden and the Democrat insiders who are defending Biden that they're refusing to engage in debate, that this is groupthink. This is borderline narcissism to stay in power. They have lied to the voters, and the media has abdicated its role to be a check on those in power. James Carville, probably the most well-known Democrat strategist, has called upon Biden to step down. And the New York Times Siena College poll has Biden at 41% and Trump at 49%. No incumbent president wins with those polling numbers in the summer before an election. Another issue in all this is the media cover-up. The media scandal is bigger than Biden himself. In the New York Times Magazine, The Intelligentsia, a major liberal publication, the lead article is entitled "The Conspiracy of Silence to Protect Joe Biden. The President's Mental Decline was Like a Dark Family Secret for Many Elite Supporters." So the talk is, what did the Democrat Party leaders know, and when did they know it? Now, the media covers for Biden because they work as campaigners for the Democrat Party. But when they fail to deliver the goods for the party, and they push for and support candidates that don't win, the party turns on the media for getting the party into trouble by being too protective. So I expect we'll see the media try to redeem themselves by helping the party get rid of Joe Biden. Remember also the Justice Department cover-up? The DOJ interviewed Biden over the classified documents found in his home. And then the DOJ stated that they would not prosecute Biden because he was an elderly man with poor memory. Well, the public wanted to hear the recordings of those interviews with Biden. and Merrick Garland refused to release them. This is just another example of the deep state covering up Biden's decline. So in all this, we again see an example of ungodly bias and dishonesty in the world. Another issue, Biden's refusal to step down. An example of hubris. People want to hold on to power at all cost, as if they are the only ones who can be in charge. Even though there are 23 Democrat governors, 213 Democrat congressmen, and 51 Democrat senators. But only Biden can run the country? Biden should be aware of his limitations and his coming end of days. And he should be glad to step aside and support the next leader. But Grandpa doesn't want to let go of the car keys. Now, there is a group of Biden supporters. I mean, certainly his own family. But why others in his cabinet and various state departments support him is a real mystery. Maybe they believe in the power of incumbency. 21 presidents won a second term. Only 10 did not win a second term. So incumbency is not a sure thing and sometimes works against a president, especially if he has shown himself to be a poor president for 4 years, like Jimmy Carter. Maybe they fear that if Biden's not the president, they'll be replaced. Or maybe they like the fact that Joe Biden is impaired. All I have to do is slip a piece of paper in front of him and he'll sign it. So the deep state gets to run the country. There are plenty of movies, novels, and real historic examples of leaders who were figureheads for the real operators. And that brings us to another issue. What's the plan of the Democrat Party? Can they replace Biden and how? Now, I'm not doing this program to predict what will happen, as many pundits often do, because I've learned never to predict elections because there are so many last-minute factors that arise. So I avoid making predictions on this program, but for the last 2 years, I was among those who were persuaded that Biden would not be running in 2024. Although, of course, I wanted him to run because his failing mental state would guarantee his loss. Biden's deterioration was so obvious. However, the mystery is that he received unwavering Democrat support and he won the primary. He wasn't even primaried by anyone. So it's either the Democrats and the media believe their own lies about Biden's competency or they were hiding a plan. Now, my guess is that they're probably hiding a plan, at least a contingent plan based on how well Biden would be doing in the polls 4 months before the election. They didn't want to remove support from him too early, otherwise he would be a lame duck candidate in office. They didn't want to primary him because then they would have to air all of their inner criticism of their own party members. Besides, it'd be quite a fight among competing Democrats. So the best option would be to wait until the convention and have him step down. That way the party leaders can put forth the candidate they want without all of the messy primary democracy stuff. Party insiders in choosing a new candidate do not have to opt for Kamala Harris. They can put in anyone. Kamala fares worse than Biden in the polling even after the debate. Now, what about Biden's reluctance to step down? That could be a wrench in the machinery. Well, we all know that if party officials don't want Biden to run, he cannot succeed. He cannot run. They will tell their friends in the media to destroy him, and he'll not be able to stand against Democrat calls for him to step down. Now, this is the issue I would like to discuss at length, the conspiracy theories. There are pundits on the internet claiming that Democrat insiders, the powers that be, are running a game like three-level chess. That the DNC actually set up this debate so that Biden would fail and they'd have an excuse to get rid of Biden. But other pundits claim it's a mistake on the part of the DNC. They assume Trump would not agree to the terms of the debate. and therefore they could get Biden out of the debate by claiming Trump refused to debate. But Trump called their bluff, so it's Trump who's playing three-level chess. So the question is, how do we view the power and the intelligence of man? Are the Democrats or political parties actually controlling the situation? Or is the situation happening to them? Have they dug a pit for others and they have fallen into it themselves? Or are their plans working like a clock? Now, my understanding from Scripture is that man, the ungodly, they lay out their plans, but the Lord thwarts them. Job chapter 5, verse 13, he captures the wise by their own shrewdness, and the advice of the cunning is quickly thwarted. Psalm 146, 9, the Lord protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless and the widows, but he thwarts the way of the wicked. Isaiah chapter 8, verse 10, devise a plan, but it will be thwarted. State a proposal, but it will not stand, for God is with us. And the whole message of the Bible is that God thwarts Satan at his game. And Satan, in implementing his plan, always shoots himself in the foot. The unsaved and even Satan himself are not that smart. And they certainly can't outsmart God. God holds the strings. But, you know, I'm now reading and hearing Christians say that if Trump wins the election, it must be because the powers that be, the deep state, some international group of globalists have decided to let him win. Maybe because they now believe they can control and direct him. He's secretly on their side. So the implication is evil controls this world, so that if someone gets into office, a Ted Cruz, a Marco Rubio, a J.D. Vance, they must have made a deal with the devil. Seriously, there are professing Christians who think in those terms. But what about God's people who had earthly authority? King David, Hezekiah, Josiah, and Daniel, Nehemiah, and Esther, who were raised to a place of authority in a pagan, godless nation. And especially Joseph, who was granted authority in Egypt. Acts chapter 7, verse 9, the patriarchs became jealous of Joseph and sold him into Egypt, yet God was with him and rescued him from all of his affliction and granted him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and made him governor over Egypt and all his household. So in conclusion, this is what I want to address. This is the Bible study answering the question, does the devil and his minions control the election? Now, if it's imagined that there is a cabal of deep state operatives controlling the election, how much more the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now working in the sons of disobedience, Ephesians chapter 2, if he is the spirit that's now working in this world, and that's what the Apostle John writes in 1 John 4:3, the spirit of the Antichrist that's now already in the world, then Satan and his demons are certainly the secret cabal deciding who wins in 2024. Remember what Satan said to Jesus in the temptation, Luke chapter 4. And Satan led him up and showed him all of the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, I will give you all of this dominion and all of its glory, for it's been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. So if Satan has been given authority over the kingdoms of this world, and he gives authority to whomever he wishes, then certainly he moves the hearts of the people to elect the one he wants. Satan certainly has a campaign staff that dwarfs the DNC or the RNC. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, the Apostle Paul calls Satan the god of this world, who has blinded the minds of unbelievers. Jesus called Satan the ruler of this world, John 12:31. In fact, Jesus called Satan the ruler of this world three times. John 12:31, now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. John 14:30, I will not speak much more with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. John 16:11, and concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Apostle John also writes in 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. The Apostle Paul writes in 2 Timothy 2:26, People have been taken captive by Satan to do his will. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 3, Satan is thrown into an abyss, and it's shut and sealed over him so that he would not deceive the nations any longer. But after a millennium, he's released, and he goes forth to deceive the nations. So he must have great influence over the nations. And Satan can certainly cause the minds of people to go gaga over certain candidates. Ever notice how, for some inexplicable reason, certain people get name recognition? Certain people get success in politics and business, and they get media attention. Why is it Donald Trump and not Harold Finkelstein from Hoboken? How about Revelation 12:9? He is the great dragon that deceives the whole world. In Daniel chapter 10, we read that the prince of the nation of Persia was actually a demon. Gabriel and Michael had to fight that demon for 21 days before they could even get a message to Daniel. Sure looks like Satan's kingdom is running this world. In Isaiah 14, the king of Babylon, and in Ezekiel 14, the king of Tyre, are both described as Satan himself. In the classic work, Pilgrim's Progress, by John Bunyan, 1678, Christian meets Apollyon, the devil, on his journey to the celestial city. And Bunyan has Apollyon saying to Christian, "You are one of my subjects. For all the country of destruction belongs to me. I'm the prince of it and the god of it. Why have you run away from your king? Were it not that I might get more service from you, I would strike you down right here. You must know that no prince in that dominion gives up his subjects willingly. Neither will I give you up. But since you complain of the service and the wages, we can fix that. You go back and whatever the country can afford in way of pay, I will see that you get it." Then Christian has to fight Satan until near death in order to escape from Satan's country. If the dedicated Christian can hardly evade Satan's orders, how much less politicians? So this is Bunyan's description of Satan's influence in the world, and it reflects biblical truth. I explain all this to describe how easy it is to fall into the mindset that righteousness cannot win in this world. So that even when conservatives see a good candidate winning, there are some who will say, he must have made a deal with the devil. He must be a closet liberal. We see this quite often on the internet. Certain patriots want a righteous candidate, but when that righteous candidate succeeds, then they turn on him. It's almost as if these people have a pessimistic worldview, and it is a cry of frustration over the sad state of affairs. And their perspective is true to some extent, because even though we might get a righteous candidate into office, he's still a flawed human being. Even the best kings in the Old Testament failed to completely abide by the word of God. So it is good to have a healthy, suspicious caution toward any elected official or toward the state of this world, because the world is passing away. But my point is, don't take it too far. Don't start naysaying every candidate and every righteous cause, as if there can be no righteous advances in this world. So let's consider the scripture. Let's not read one set of verses in exclusion to others. Although we have these texts concerning the influence of Satan, we have direct statements from scripture that God is the one who sets up rulers, not Satan. Psalm 75, "For not from the east, nor from the west, nor from the desert comes exaltation, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another." In Daniel chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar is boasting that he built the kingdom of Babylon, and God humbles him by striking him with a disease and removing him from office for 7 years. And God says in Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, "In order that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind, and he bestows it on whom he wishes, and he sets it over the lowliest of men." And the whole lesson of Daniel chapter 2 is that God is raising up 4 empires: Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome. Satan is not doing that. And Daniel says to King Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel 2, verse 37, "You, O king, are the king of kings, to whom the God of heaven has given the kingdom, the power, the strength, and the glory." Never do we read in Scripture that Satan puts someone into office. So certainly not some cabal of earthly insiders. Even God said about the evil Pharaoh of the Exodus, I raised you up. And in Acts chapter 4, God appointed Herod and Pilate to do whatever God's hand and God's purposes predestined to occur. So at the root of the error is the denial that God raises up evil rulers. I mean, how could God put into office Pharaoh or Nebuchadnezzar or Pilate? Well, those leaders are appointed by God to bring punishment upon the world for the protection and the direction of the church. But here's the error of the logic. Since it's assumed that God can't be raising up evil leaders, therefore Satan is the one raising them up. If he has the power to raise up evil leaders, then God only raises up good ones occasionally, in rare cases, when there are enough people praying, or when a nation is really, really, really righteous. So therefore, no current president of the United States could possibly be of God. You know, Satan must be running Washington and the election. So it's easy to fall into that mindset. But we must get our theology from the Bible, not from empiricism or rationalism. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 1, the king's heart is like channels of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wishes. You say, well, what about Biden's push for abortion, LGBTQ, and children being mutilated in the push for transgenderism? Well, Romans chapter 1, there comes a point when God gives people over to the lust of their heart so that they will be punished by the due penalty of their error. Biden is called to be a destroyer. That's why we still honor the man as president. He is ordained of God. But of course, when it comes to voting, we're only to vote for the one who supports righteousness and blessing. We're not to be involved in God's wrath. For Romans chapter 12, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. We are to bless our enemies. If they're hungry, we're to feed them. If they're thirsty, we're to give them water to drink. But that's a whole other subject. The point is that God raises up all leaders. Satan is not in control. Now, even that has to be qualified because Satan is certainly involved in influencing evil rulers. Satan may even imagine that he's putting these people into office. But God is really the one directing all outcomes for his glory and for the good of his people. So all that to say, I don't believe that some cabal of insiders decide who is going to be the president. There might be groups trying, but they're not accomplishing what they think they accomplish. Proverbs 21:30, there is no wisdom and no understanding and no counsel against the Lord. Lamentations 3:37, who is there who speaks and it comes to pass unless the Lord has commanded it? Nahum chapter 1 verse 9, whatever you devise against the Lord, he will make a complete end of it. Psalm 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things which have not been done, saying my purposes will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Psalm 33:10, the Lord nullifies the counsel of the nations. He frustrates the plans of the people. The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation. And 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, you are from God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or to other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. From there, you can get all of the links to the extended video version of this program on my Rumble and YouTube channel, God and Country Biblical Exposition. Thanks for listening. Thank you for loving the Word. Stand firm in the truth. And may Jesus Christ reign.